With everything, it's about pursuit. God's pursuit of us, our pursuit of Him, and the messy, beautiful journey in between. Welcome. I'm Letitia Bariola. I hope you had a great week. I especially hope the hundreds of you who listened to Glowy audio devotional that I dropped a couple of days ago, I really hope that it helped recenter you and sort of usher you into the presence of God, because that's my intention with Glowy audio devotionals. I heard from many of you. I'm so glad that it was helpful, and you can look forward to those right here inside the With Everything podcast feed. I'll be dropping those in to help us all get through a very interesting time in history. We are all alive during a huge shift that's happening in the world, and that can often lead to stress and disconnection, and has a lot of people trying to hear the voice of God. And Glowy is designed to get you there, to help you reconnect. All you have to do is make the time. So enjoy that, my friends. All right, this week, I've been paying attention to how I'm changing. As I give God more margin in my life, more time, more focus, less screen time, as you heard last week, I can feel something changing, shifting. Not only is there an inner change, but it's like my desires are changing too. They're getting deeper, less surface level, louder. My desire to be more like Him keeps showing up as I evaluate how I'm going to move in my everyday life. One of the ways it showed up this week was when I was listening to a familiar public voice, Francis Chan. Do you know Francis? Know of him? He's been on my radar ever since I was in college when I first read Crazy Love. That book changed everything for me. It was the first time I heard somebody put words to the hunger I felt in my heart, the desire I felt for God, the love relationship I was experiencing. He put it all in this little red book. And I realized while reading that book that God is calling us into this passionate love relationship with Him. And I learned that I was maybe still in my teens, maybe early 20s. And I actually reordered the book. I have it now. I'm about to read it again, because as I heard this interview, as you'll see, I was reminded of that time. So I'll keep you posted on that second read. But Francis has been my go-to ever since then, especially when I want to hear someone talk about pure faith, like the basics of our faith. He's not perfect, far from it, like the rest of us, but he always seems to bring it back to the basics. No gimmicks, no extras, just Jesus. I remember watching him walk away from his huge church in Simi Valley, California, and made headlines. It was a big deal. He was a pastor of that church. And he left because he felt like it had grown so big that it wasn't being the church anymore, that he was ineffective as a leader, that the church was ineffective. And he left, caused a stir, but he was like, I have a mission and I'm going after it. And it was this radical pursuit of Jesus in everyday life. So here I am, giving God more room to shape me, to talk to me, more margin in my life. And what happens? Francis Chan pops back in my life. This time it was on the Faith-Driven Entrepreneur podcast. I'm going to drop a link to this episode because you're going to hear how impactful it was for me. And I was curious what he would say about business and money. Because Francis is famous. He's just humble, a very humble dude. And while I might not remember every single line from this podcast. There are a few things he said that I cannot shake. They keep echoing in my spirit, and it all comes back to this idea. Christian maturity isn't addition, it's subtraction. Less of me, more of him. Matthew 22:36-40 says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." All the law and the prophets hang on to these two commandments. I love how simple Jesus makes it here. Out of everything, he tells us what really matters. Love me, love people. And yet we live in a time where that mandate, that commandment has been so muddled with religion, with opinions, with judgment, with what I could go on. And in our own personal faith walk, it's just so easy to drift away from that simplicity. It's just not so simple in everyday life, or we have made it not so simple in everyday life. We add on extra things, extra models of what it looks like. Oh, this is what it looks like to be Christian, or this person here is doing it right, or she's doing it right. When really, Jesus says it plain, love me with everything first. That's the first and greatest thing you could do with your life. And second, love people just as well as you love yourself. And we love ourselves. So that's why what Francis says, and I'm going to break down a few concepts here, it hit me so hard because it reminded me of the basics of the simple love that God is calling us to. So in one of the questions, Francis was asked, if you could go back to your 20 or 30-year-old self, what would you say? His answer was basically this: edit down the clutter and go back to the main thing. He admitted that when he was younger, he got so caught up in building bigger and reaching more, scaling, moving faster, that sometimes people even felt like they were in his way on the mission and he was just go, go. But looking back now, he says, he actually think he would tell himself to figure out what God actually wanted of us. What was the main thrust of scripture? What is that? And then he would tell himself, don't lose focus of that. That resonated because as an ambitious woman who has big dreams and wants to impact a lot of people, sometimes that can feel all-consuming. And for you, that may be something else may feel all-consuming. Your family life, it could be relationships, it could be money, it could be marriage, it could be whatever your goals are, could start to feel like the main thing. And what Francis is saying is that he would tell his 30-year-old, 20-year-old, probably early 40-year-old self, don't lose focus of what the scripture is truly pointing to during our very short life on earth, even if 110 years is short when it comes to eternity. So Jesus already gave us the main thing. It is clear as day. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's part of why this podcast is called With Everything. Jesus gave everything in pursuit of us. And in return, he's saying the commandment here is to love me with your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. My friends, that is everything. That's everything we got. And love people as yourself. Francis's reflection isn't new. It's not super profound. It's just a reminder to keep coming back to what Jesus already told us matters most. And he shared a really great example And my next point is around words and presence and, again, what really matters. And he shared this example about one of his mentors from India. And he talked about how he was a slow-to-speak kind of guy. He didn't say much. He listened a lot. And that's not such an American way of being, because our culture is to really fill the air, talk fast, keep the banter going. He compared it to his experience on a radio show, and this made me laugh because this is so media, right? But in one of his interviews back in the day, he remembered the producers telling him, there's no dead space. You know, you got to keep going. Interrupt me if you have to. Just keep talking. He said that got ingrained in him. Fill the air, talk. But his mentor not only let other people talk, but let silence be in between them. He was in no rush to say anything. He was in no rush to get you to finish saying something. He modeled this beautiful patience. James 1:19 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Francis was sort of saying, how do you obey that when the culture is the opposite? There's live debates happening. You go on social media and you see all of the banter happening, comments under videos. We're even talking to people who are not even talking to us. This society rewards hot takes, fast talking, interrupting. How do you become slow to speak in a world built on constant noise? Back to the basics here. Christian maturity isn't addition, it's subtraction. Less of me, more of him. So Francis went on to say that he admired his mentor so much. He wasn't pressured to fill the silence. He was abiding in the presence of God. Meanwhile, Francis said he often feels hyper aware of the air. And in that awareness, he can become unaware of God's presence. Really great base, a call to the basics around quick to listen, slow to speak. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Francis was saying, God is looking at me saying, did I ask you to say that? Why did you say that? And the real call isn't even in our words. Every single one should actually glorify him, according to 1 Corinthians, saying everything we should do, just do it all for the glory of God. Does everything we do give glory to God? The answer is no. It doesn't. What if we spent more focus on that simple principle? Everything I do, my going to work, my first Zoom meeting of the day, when I make the kids lunch, when I go to sleep, how do I give glory to God in all of my activity? Francis, using his ability to call us back to the basics, is working here for me. He's also really great at pointing us to not only eternity, but our mortality. At any moment, this life ends and we are before his throne. In an instant, we could be before his throne. We don't know when. This is a fact for Christians. So when we're there in that moment in front of the living God, what will matter then? Not the debates, not the filling of dead space, but the greatest commandment, which is, does he know us? Do we know each other? When I get there, he says, oh, it's so good to see you. I was just with you, God. Why'd you take me? I kid. But you hear me, right? What's going to matter is you and him. Francis poses, like, the way he talks about Jesus and God, I think we've gotten so used to just saying we're Christians and God, Jesus, religion, faith, but he phrases it like, listen, the story of Jesus, the history of Jesus, the facts of how we came to be is the greatest truth on earth. We possess that as Christians. We not only possess that, but it's in our cells. Our minds know the truth. Our spirit has been introduced to the greatest truth on earth. That Jesus is alive and that he loves us and he desires to be with us. This is groundbreaking truth. And if we can call ourselves back to that simple truth every day, giving glory to God in all things starts to become a little bit easier, right? That's the shaking that Francis is calling us to look at our words, our platforms, our culture consumption and contribution, and ask, what am I doing with my time in the space that I have? Am I glorifying God? Am I just making noise? Am I ignoring him? What is the greatest commandment ask of me? Christian maturity isn't addition, it's subtraction. Less of me, more of him. Another part of the conversation that stuck with me was around what Francis said, again, thinking about his younger self. So reflecting on the past couple decades, he said he would have told himself to go deeper in relationship with Christ. And that hit me hard because it took me right back to crazy love that first wrecked me all those years ago. And once again, it's that same call to intimacy with the true living God, the God who's just one breath away, the God who's inside us in heaven all around us, the God who made us in his image and calls us into union with him. And he goes into this illustration around the story of Adam and Eve. And he's like, listen, he didn't make Adam and Eve because he needed gardeners. He could have had the lions come and pull fruit off the trees and mow the lawn. A giraffe could have done that. He just brings it down to a very simple concept. Adam and Eve in the garden, the Bible says they worked the garden. And he's like, you have to move past that. God created man in his image because of relationship. The oneness that we have with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The eternal union of love between us. This invitation of, you can be one of us. That's the essence of why he created us. We are made for a relationship with him, to be known by him, to know him. Isn't that so exciting? Genesis 1:27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And so it was a funny part. He's like, not to tend the garden. No. Jesus, Holy Spirit, and God were together before we got here. And who, I mean, that concept, guys, I don't even know. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know how, I guess they've been together forever. I don't know. All I know is that at some point they said, let's make a man in our image, a man and a woman in our image. And we're going to put them in this garden and they're going to have dominion and they're going to be one of us. And it was about relationship. He goes on to say, you know, I used to think he made me to be a prophet in America. And now I see he made me because he is love. He made me to pour out his grace, to pour out his love on me, and for me to pour it back in return. So in the early days, it was about what he was going to do in the name of God. And now he realizes it wasn't about what he was going to do in the name of God. It was about his relationship with his Father. And so the prayer for this is, Lord, I want to do life with you. Whatever you call me to do, I want to do it with you, even if it's hard, even if it costs me, even if I lose everything. I don't want to waste my time here. I want to walk in relationship with you. That is the prayer he would give his younger self. Takeaway for me there is, you know, that's the essence of our faith. That's why we call ourselves Christians and we said that salvation prayer for many of us a long time ago. It's not about the ministry, the platform, or even the impact. It's about union with God, of steadfast love with the Creator who made us for Himself. How can we get back to that basic truth? Now that I'm further into this podcast, do you see what I'm, do you see how far away we've gotten from that? Then Francis talks about money, the part I was really looking forward to. And he talks about how he grew up poor. Poverty is all he's ever known. When money opportunities began to come to him, because his God elevated him, more and more people knew about him. He didn't know biblically if he should even take all of it. He told a story about how he and his wife, they made $36,000 a year, enough to pay the bills. And they decided then to never take a raise. Thousands of people, imagine a mega church. And they said, yes, even if it grows, great. Put it back into the ministry. We're going to live off of this for the foreseeable future. He said, if we didn't need it, why take it? Come on now. You know that's not what most of us, if we see a raise coming, we're going to take the raise. I'm not saying we are all called to live like Francis, but just see how that simple truth sort of pierces how a lot of us think today. And so he talks about more. He was in Simi Valley. So this is a lot of wealth in that area. And he started noticing more and more wealthy people in the church. And he would say, God, would you change their hearts? Help them see the needs of the world. Help them see their own mortality. How can they not understand that they could die today? And what will really matter? He said, you promise a hundredfold return for anything we sacrifice. So God, change our hearts. He was frustrated. There were so many needs in the world. Starvation, clean water, trafficking. He said, you'd never know. He can't even explain what it's like to see a starving child eat food for the first time in a long time. And he thought, just give it away. Just give it away. He said this one thing, and it just, you know how sometimes in your faith walk, it's hard to give 10% of your income to God. There's been seasons where that's really hard. And there's been seasons where it just hasn't happened in my life. When he says it, he's like, we're spending 90% on us. When he said 90, for a split second, it was like, gosh, that's a huge portion. I never have thought like that before. It's mostly, oh, here goes that 10. Now I have gotten a lot better with that. Now it's more like, thank you so much that I have money to give back into the church, Lord. Bless it. You know, I'm praying over that 10. But after this podcast, guess what I did? And I know you're not really supposed to talk about this a lot, but you get me. I bumped up. I gave my tithe, and then I gave an offering on top of the tithe. It wasn't a lot at all. Back to the beginning of my podcast, God is changing me. So I was like, okay, I got paid again. My tithe, I gave a little bit more. Because that 90% hit me in my heart. God, am I a person that needs 90% of everything you've given me to live? What if I lived on 10 and I gave you 90? Just a thought. One day Francis said, God, make me rich and I'll give it all away. He got so frustrated. He's like, okay, well, make me wealthy. And I'm gonna do what I think we should be doing with money. Because he was so satisfied with God. He had everything he needed and more in Christ. And soon after that, guess what happened? Crazy love came out. And people like me all over the world bought the book. He never imagined ever that book would be a bestseller. It was written for a small crowd, he said, not to be a bestseller. It became a global success. So you know what he did? So God made him rich. God answered his prayer. God made him wealthy the next year. So he put it all, the profit off that book, he says, and a donor-advised fund. Couldn't touch it for himself. There were guardrails around it, around how it was to be used, not for his comfort, but to meet needs around the world. Isn't that amazing? I bet you to this day that fund is being drawn upon to answer some big problems in the world while Francis lives with everything he needs, all his needs met, and enjoys that his legacy is sowing into kingdom matters and showing God, I'm going to love you with everything. And then I'm going to love people next. And that's his way of carrying it out. 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Ooh-wee! Matthew 19:29, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Those who leave the comfort of their families. Those who sow into the kingdom. So it hit me. I thought about that 90%. God's only asking for 10. How much excess do I live with? How much security am I building around me and my family? You know, like, what if the goal was to get out of debt, like, owe no one anything, live simply, and then give radically? What if that was, what would that life look like? It convicted me in the best way where I don't feel guilty, but it feels like there's some freedom that can happen when I become more generous. I don't really need more for me. I need less for me. More money, more comfort, more status. It doesn't add up to maturity. Christian maturity is subtraction. Less of me, more of God. Francis talks a lot about mortality. The reality is everyone is going to die. Our time on earth, there's a stop that happens for all of us. We don't like to talk about this much because death is painful. It wasn't supposed to be this way, but here we are. When I think about the end of my life, I get sad. Sad about not being around the people I love. Sad about leaving my kids and my husband. Worrying if they'll be okay. God has set eternity in the human heart. So everyone on the planet, they think about living forever or dying. They think about mortality. It's just human nature. He created us that way. Deep down, we all know life is limited, but there is more beyond this. You know, I've studied heaven, the afterlife, and Revelation in the Bible, paradise. I just finished a book on the end times and beyond the end times, but when this is really truly said and done and the kingdom of heaven is down on earth, like the whole thing, I just finished this book and it just leaves me in awe. This tragic, beautiful hope that we live forever. Francis is a guy who holds this reality close with no fear. This uncertainty of like, we don't know the day or time. He looks at that like, well, then why do we build our castles here? Don't make yourself the main character of your life. For what? if we live forever and we have 100 here, don't you want to think about the rest of your life? If God promises to take care of our needs and more, why are we hoarding? Why are we grasping for riches? Why are we spending so much of our energy on worrying? What if we lived more open-handed with a little more faith? Imagine the people we could help. Imagine the impact we could have on the earth. Imagine how many people would actually see us as true Christians, Christ followers. Oh, that's what Jesus would be like if he were here today. You know they're not saying that about us right now. Imagine what our life, our legacy, what it would really mean when we used up all of our time here and we gave so much of it away to God and to people. Christian maturity isn't addition, it's subtraction. Less of me, more of him. All right. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for people like Francis who remind us of what it truly means to be emptied out and to be asked to be poured into by you. We all fall so short, including Francis Chan. But Lord, I pray that after this podcast, maybe after they listen to his podcast, that something in us is awakened and stirred to pour out more of us, to subtract and to add you in, to add people into the vision for our lives. What does it look like to be truly used by you? God, if you give me resources, how can I use those resources? God, as I create space and time and I give you that space and time, will you meet me there? Can I get to know you more? Will you talk to me in a different way today so I can see you and hear you? Will you visit me? Lord, I just pray that the people that hear the sound of my voice, God, that even now the love of God will fill their cars, will fill their AirPods, will just hug them like a blanket. So they feel the call, Father, for a deeper walk with their Creator. Thank you. I love you. Thank you for the opportunity to use my voice for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Let's see what happens when God breathes on a podcast. My friends, I want to thank you for being with me today. You know the deal. First, actually, I have one big request. I'm just going to say this one thing. You know to post on social and talk to me on my email, all those things. But will you be sure to follow this show in Apple Podcasts? I need you to go to the show and click that check that says follow and follow the show. I need you here for the long run. And the best way to do that is to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Okay. God bless you. I'll see you back here next week.